Blog Talk Radio.
First district politics first got going, we were just talking about people getting on the Trump train. It was prior to Trump even being elected. The show's been around for a while. You guys go back and look at prior episodes. Tonight, we have the honor of having the exclusive with Julie Reichwein, who's the author of a new book that's out called The Switch. This is a novel featuring Laura Loomer. Welcome, Julie Reichwein.
Hi.
Thanks for coming on, Julie.
Hi.
So, thank you for coming on. How's our audio?
It's fine. I can hear you.
Okay, good. So, Julie, let's give people a little bit of a background. So you are in New Mexico, right?
Yes, I'm in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
All right, that's cool. The reason I want to say that, Julie, is because it kind of has a part of the setting of the book when we start describing or you start describing this book to the people. Anyway, I've read the book and part of it's down there in New Mexico. So let's do this, Julie. Let's kind of jump right in. So this show is only 30 minutes long. I don't know if any of the people listening to the show or people that are going to be listening to the show have seen that there's this book out. It's called The Switch. It's kind of a unique book that features Laura Loomer in this book. Julie, How did this book come about? Can you tell us how you met Laura, when you first met Laura, and how this book came about?
Well, I had written a book with a journalist in it, and then I met you, and we were talking about Laura, and so I was, of course, nervous and didn't say anything about making the reporter nervous. I mean, the report of Laura. So I waited 24 hours, and then I called you back, and I said, you know, it wouldn't be that difficult for me to make some changes to the story and make the reporter Laura. Do you think she would be interested? And so I sent you, I believe it was 50 pages, and you read the first 50 pages, and then you talked to Laura, and after reading it, after you read it, and after she read it, you both were interested. So it came together. So I sent the whole book, and you guys looked it over, and Laura looked it over, and Laura's team looked it over. And then I made the changes, you know, to make the reporter, obviously, be Laura. I didn't know her that at all then, except for by reputation. So I had to go back and do a bunch of homework on her to try and make the character as accurate as possible in the story. So I did that. And then as I was doing the changes, I got to know Laura better. And now, you know, after a year, I know her pretty well. So the book takes a lot of things that she did in real life, and I worked them into the story. The story is an international thriller that starts in New Mexico, and I wanted to write a book that MAGA people would like, patriots would like, because so much of the entertainment world right now, it seems like other than Clint Eastwood is so left-leaning and anti-America. So my goal with the book was to make a book that patriots and President Trump supporters would like. The book touches on pretty much what we're looking at, you know, the last few years as far as in society. And I obviously, because it's fiction, I wanted to make it entertaining. I've been a reader my whole life, and for me, I don't like books that are slow, so I wanted to make sure it was a fast-paced, adrenaline-filled book where you got to know the characters. One of the things I like to do when I decided I like to do when writing a book is I like to write in first person because I like to get into the psychology of the person, so you really get a good feel for them. You know, a lot like Breaking Bad, you know, even though some of the characters are, well, almost all the characters are bad, you still like them. You don't like what they're doing, but you kind of like them. So, you know, I'm trying to, you know, make all the characters human, and some of them you just, you know, can't stand. Some of them you like, some of them you're just not sure. And so anyway, so the story starts with a terrorist attack. It's a narco-terrorist attack, a partnership between a Peruvian Maoist group called the Shining Path, who partners up in, with Mexican cartels, and they want to... They take down what's called Microwave Mountain, which is where all the telecommunications equipment is for police, emergency, and whatnot, because they want to break.
Can I cut in for a minute, Julie? Julie, let me just to try to just for a second, because this is a, kind of a fun thing. But there's a trailer, an actual trailer, that's out about this book. When you mentioned the Microwave Mountain part, it seems like that's the part in the trailer that we've seen so many people kind of get excited about.
Well, I would say the leftists have gotten excited about it. You know, the Huffington Post and Right Wing Watch and the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Daily Beast. And they've made lots of, you know, even though they haven't read the book, they just kind of honed in on Microwave Mountain and made rude, sexually disgusting comments about Laura doing things on Microwave Mountain because they're just haters. There's just, you know, a third of the population on the left that just viscerally hates Laura Loomer as much as they hate President Trump. And, so we definitely had the haters come out, and they've targeted
a little bit of background on a little. Yeah, and let's do a little background on that, Julie. So the book comes out at the end of October, mid-November, roughly. You start getting your website up and running, and the book starts getting, you know, marketed out there.
Yeah.
About a month later, mid-December, roughly. The left finds the book,
right? Yeah.
And they start going crazy. Now, here we are about three weeks later, right? And they're still coming and glued over the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're still coming and glued over the book.
And thousands
coming
of
out to your
Soros
website.
Spots. Yeah, thousands of Soros spots.
Mm-hmm. As far as what?
Well, you know, anytime somebody from the SPLC or the Daily Beast or the Daily Dot or whatever, you know, says something, then there's, you know, 500 tweets from Soros bots on there, you know, chiming in, you know, with whatever pre-programmed nasty messages on Twitter.
All right. So back to the book. so you get the book out. You get this. You get the left starting to see the book. Next thing you know, they're writing articles, doing YouTubes, doing blogs, the whole thing. All of a sudden, your little small, your self-published book is getting all this attention like you couldn't even dream. Christmas rolls around, and President Trump retweets one of your tweets. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I have a pretty good-sized Twitter account of about 130,000 people, so I'm able to drive pretty much traffic to my website / blog, and I get a fair amount of international traffic as well, and but you know, nothing can compare. 130,000 is, you know, nothing compared to 63 million. So when President Trump tweeted my tweet, you know, my everything, you know, went up about 500%. And he, you know, part of what was on the tweet was supporting Laura Loomer. So she, of course, was super excited because she's running in his district to be his congresswoman. She was in West Palm Beach, for those that don't know that. Even though
do you think it was any coincidence that he retweeted that at the 3-day mark of right before the end of the year for the reporting period for Laura's fundraising efforts?
I wouldn't even want to try.
President Trump.
Yeah, get into you know, his thinking on that. You know, the post was, you know, about an illegal immigrant who had been released 6 times and then killed the mother who had 6 children. And, of course, it was here in the Southwest, Colorado. So that's one of his pet projects. And, you know, and, of course, that's touched on in the book. You know, there's a very colorful little town where these cartel people come through called Columbus, New Mexico, which is famous for Pancho Villa. And so that's kind of the main claim to fame, but kind of an interesting little side note, which, you know, you find out about this in the book, but the town literally is so poor. And this is part of the problem we have here on the border, not just in this state, but in the other states, but as, you know, the cartels find the weak spots. Well, this little town of Columbus, they call it the town with no dog catcher because the feds came in 2012 and they literally arrested everybody that was in a position of power in the town, the mayor, the police chief, everybody. And because they were running drugs and guns with the Juarez cartel, so they're all in jail. The town's bankrupt. It's so bankrupt, they don't even have one single police officer. Yet it's a border crossing town. And so it's naturally heaven for the cartel. And they jokingly call it the town without the dog catcher because there's one light in town that doesn't work. And all these wild packs of dogs from Mexico run over the border into New Mexico, and they had to fire the dog catcher, too. It's just like this totally wild, 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 west, lawless town. But it's symptomatic of what President Trump's trying to deal with on the border, you know, so... So I purposely had, you know, everybody kind of come through this town because it was an entertaining, you know, story of the little town and bring it into it. So the story starts in New Mexico.
That's part of where you say ripped from the headlines, right, Julie?
I did a ton of research on
and I say that jokingly because when people started getting into this and looking at what the people have been, how the left has been triggered by this book,
Yeah,
you
I know, ripped from the headlines.
Oh, ripped from the headlines. Well, yeah, it is. It's true. And this is what they don't like about it, Julie. And the one thing you notice, they haven't said anything about what's in this book is true. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've only tried to make personal insults and stuff like that. But they haven't been able to say anything about what's in the book.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that interested Laura and being in the book is, you know, when we kind of talk about stick with Rip from the headlines, and of course the left is going nuts over this because they call, you know, Laura, you know, an Islamophobe and Muslim hater and right-wing troll and all these kind of things, is in Taos, New Mexico, which for people who have never heard of it, it's a resort town about 2 hours northeast of Santa Fe, very liberal like Santa Fe, literally 99% Bernie Sanders type of people, just like Santa Fe is. And just a little bit north of that is where this Muslim compound was, where the Wahhabis were training the kids to be jihadists. And then one of the kids was killed in a Muslim exorcism. And the Wahhabis are related. He was the son of the father who was involved with the World Trade Center bombing. So New Mexico, like a lot of states in the Southwest, is moved from red to purple to blue because of the legal immigration, plus certain areas like Santa Fe and Taos get a lot of your Uber lefties who flee areas like Boston, New York City, and California. So it's pretty much an open border state, and it's a state where, you know, the Muslims are and I shouldn't use the word Muslim, but the jihadists, because there are obviously good Muslims, but the jihadist element was able to get rooted here. And even after they were arrested, the Taos judge let them loose. The feds had to come in and arrest them because it's so liberal here that, you know, that they, even though they had killed a child and were training 11 other children to massacre, you know, children in other schools, they let all five of them go on their own recognizance. So, you know, obviously it's Laura Loomer is a journalist, and it wouldn't be Laura Loomer without working in the jihadist element. And the jihadists do work with the Mexican cartel, so I have that worked into that end of the story twist. So like I say, it's, you know, it takes a lot of things that we're dealing with in real life, porous borders, communists, Mexican cartels coming over the border. The other thing that wouldn't be a Laura Loomer book if we weren't dealing with censorship also. So that's also worked into it.
That's right. One of the fun parts when – so this will let us kind of move into the next part of what I want to talk about, Julie. And it's kind of about the phenomenon, of the book. And which we'll talk about some of these podcasts that we've heard, which you just triggered my memory here. Some of these YouTubes that have been made, articles that have been made, how this book has been picked up, the whole kind of a, kind of not a backlash, but an uproar in a sense over the book that's come out. It's just unbelievable. So since this book's come out, you've had people that have wrote articles about the book, There's YouTubers that have done YouTubes about the book. Podcasters have done podcasts about the book. Walmart's picked up the book. Barnes & Noble's picked up the book. Booksellers around the world are picking up this book. This seems like a very unique thing for a small self-published book. What do you say about all that?
You know, I had checked in and going the traditional route, and like anybody else who's a no-name person, it's very, very, very difficult. And the other problem that I was looking at is it's also a very liberal industry. So Laura Loomer is, she's a trigger for leftists, so... You know, Miley Yiannopoulos had been dropped by Simon & Schuster, and he's obviously, you know, quite famous. And I thought, you know, I probably don't really stand a chance going with a traditional publisher unless I start the book out on my own self-published and build an audience to where they come to me. So that's why we decided to go the self-published route. Also, we didn't want to do traditional publishing right off the bat if someone was interested.
So self-published, and within a month of you really starting to market the book out, you're self-published, and you're finding this book done on multiple YouTubes. People are critiquing, laughing about the book, doing YouTubes, podcasts about the book, articles about the book. So many you can't even list them off. The book being already picked up by Walmart, Barnes & Noble, and the like, and around the world. You just told me today it's in Hong Kong for sale.
Yeah. Well,
just
well,
like, give us a quick list of where this book is.
What I was going to say is stores like Barnes & Noble aren't, you know, that's not really unusual because they can just order it as people order it. But what's good to see is we're getting a ton of bookstores internationally picking it up, multiple in the UK, Hong Kong, Germany, France, Australia, Spain, Germany. I don't even actually know all of them, so some of them I'm able to find online. And then and a lot of that, you know, Laura's known in a lot of countries, but my website also gets a lot of international traffic, so that's good. So we're getting it built from, as they say, a stepping stone at a time. And the people who, I'm sure there's, at least the people who have gotten in touch with me that have read it have all said they liked it, so that of course makes me feel good. I know obviously that not everyone's going to like it, but at least everybody who is a MAGA follower or Laura follower, they've all contacted me and they said it was a really great book and it was fun and it was adrenaline filled and it was exciting, and they liked the real life characters worked into it. The other two characters worked into the
Julie,
book.
The book is a great book. The book is a great book. Let me just put something in here. Now, this is what is really funny, Julie. So I've worked with you for a while now, over the last year, with this book. And I know how many times that you've edited the book, how many times this book is professionally edited, how many times professionally critiqued, the whole thing, right? And then you see these people putting comments, these lefties out there. Oh, the grammar in this book, this sentence, this, blah, blah, blah. How hilarious is this, Julie? Does this crack you up or what?
When somebody sits there and says, Laura's team wrote the description of the book and they accused her of using too many commas, which is like ridiculous because she's a straight A student, fantastic journalist, And it's the comments probably came from somebody who, you know, can't even, you know, I won't even get into it with insults. But anyway, it's ridiculous. And, you know, because Laura's, I mean, I've read a lot of her articles. She's a fantastic journalist. And she's very detailed. And she knows what she's doing. So for somebody to insult, you know, that, and like you say, I can make mistakes. I didn't go to journalism school, so I had it professionally copy edited because I knew there would be mistakes from me. It doesn't mean that, you know, everything gets caught. You know, I'm still human, but anyway, most of the stuff, you know, that people really attack, they're not from people that even order the book. So. You know, but that's part of it, you know, on both sides of the aisle. You know, a lot of people that, you know, sell books on the left, a lot of people on the right will, you know, criticize them. And on the right, you know, the leftists are going to criticize even though they don't read the book just because they don't like the person. So, it's, you know, no one likes it, but unfortunately it's just part of what you got to deal with.
Yeah, that's the truth.
But the other thing I was going to say that I was starting to say mm-hmm. when you interjected was there's two other characters. I met them in D.C. When I went to the Demand Free Speech rally because I hadn't met Laura. Mm-hmm. I only talked to her about
okay.
and I wanted to meet her. And I met a bunch of the Proud Boys. I met Enrique Tarrio, who's the leader of the Proud Boys, and he's Cuban Afro, and of course the left wing calls him a white nationalist or white racist or whatever they like to call us, which is funny. And so I asked him if he would be interested in being a character in the book, and he said he'd love it. And he's also now running for Congress in Florida's 27th district against Donna Shalala, a Democrat. And Joe Biggs is in the book. He's a 2-time Purple Heart war hero. So part of, you know, what Laura's working with a female FBI agent, and her boss, his name in the book is James Slomy, after obviously James Comey. So that's the thought process of bringing the Proud Boys in, because while they're deep in the case, they need protection from people that they can trust, and it's not the FBI, so they're bringing their friends and families. So I do work a lot of characters in, like I say, Comey's in there under a pseudonym. Jack Dorsey is an evil character in there as well. And I bring the Proud Boys in and Laura Loomer. So there are a lot of, you know, real-life people worked into the story to kind of make it something that's different. And, of course, that triggers the left even more, because as much as they hate Laura, they may hate the Proud Boys even more. I'm not sure if that's possible. It might be a tie. But, and they hate me because my last name is Reichwein. So, of course, I'm a racist and a Nazi because I have the name Reichwein. So, anyway.
If anybody wants to have a little fun, right, go to Google, in the words The Switch, Julie Reichwein.
Yeah.
Just Google it, read the articles that pop up. Or go to Julie, what's your website? What's your. Give us your website.
What's my name? Julie, Reichwein.info.
That's it. So JulieReichwein.info. Go there, and you'll see all the links you need. Julie has an excellent blog. The blog is getting traffic like nobody's heard of. Julie just got her website going up about mid-November. And Julie, when... Trump retweeted your tweet mentioning to donate for Laura. How many people did you have on your website, Julie?
Well, I would say it probably, well, let's just put it this way, that the tweet got over 8 million impressions, so it got a lot of traffic.
That one tweet got 8 million impressions.
Yeah, well,
I
think it's at 8,200,000 right now. So, and then the New York Post wrote a story about me because of it, and so that came out a few days ago. Gateway Pundit, Big League Politics also did articles on it because of Laura Loomer. So that, you know, and Gateway Pundit is quite large online, so that got a lot of traffic too. So definitely been getting a lot of traffic from it. Having
That's
having
great.
The
so
president
Julie, this,
retweet you,
the president
retweet
you,
it's good for traffic.
That's a,
yeah.
Well, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. So, Julie, our 30 yeah. minutes is up. So here's what we're gonna do.
Okay.
That was a great show. It's a great show. People are going to, we're going to send this show out. We're going to tweet it out, Facebook it out, share it out, the whole thing. We do have a couple minutes of a buffer time here, so we're still fine. But what we'll do is just make sure everybody goes to your website, julierieich.info, JulieRieichWein.info. And follow Julie on Twitter at
JulieRieichWein.
She does. That's right. Right. Yeah,
according,
you're going
to
see when you Google that and search it up. Is that who said that? You put the Reich in Reich.
Yeah, it was either the Huffington Post or the. Yeah, it was either the Huffington Post or the Daily Beast. I can't remember. They were both on my page.
People are crazy. Watch out for the Trump train. It's been a great show. We'll have you on again.
All right. All right. Thanks,
everybody.
Phil.
Have
Bye.
A great night.
Bye. You too.